and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. There's still not a lot of information on a private plane crash in Russia that killed all 10 people on board. But mercenary leader Yevgeny Prigozhin was reportedly on that passenger list. CBS's Remy Innocencio has the latest.
Russian state news channels say that it was an Embraer business jet that crashed in Russia's Tver region. There's also pro-military channels claiming that the tail number, the registration number, also matched a plane belonging to the team of Mr. Prigozhin.
It's been 2 months since Prigozhin led a failed military coup in Russia. Rudy Giuliani's bail has been set for $150,000 in Georgia, where he's facing 2020 election conspiracy charges. Meantime, we know former President Trump will turn himself in tomorrow, which means he won't be in Wisconsin tonight for the GOP primary debate. CBS's Robert Costas in Milwaukee.
All of the contenders are planning for tonight to make their mark, to try to get some traction in this race, because the former president's not going to be there. It enables them potentially to have an audience nationally and make their own pitch to Republican voters.
Another massive heat dome is hovering over about 125 million Americans today and won't let up anytime soon. Odyssey New York meteorologist Craig Allen.
For areas like New Orleans, on up to Shreveport, Memphis, Tennessee, Topeka, Kansas, Oklahoma City, it is going to feel like it's up above 110, perhaps as high as 115 to 118 degrees.
In Hawaii, officials are once again urging people to submit their DNA to help find the missing, but only dozens of people have complied. KGMB reporter Chelsea Davis is in Maui.
Maybe rather than relying on these people to go in and take a swab, maybe they should be going out to the people and going door to door and knocking on their doors if they still have doors left, or going to the hotels and speaking with them face to face.
115 people have died, but that number's still expected to spike. Reggie Bush is suing the NCAA for defamation after a spokesman smeared Bush about a pay-for-play arrangement in college. Bush's attorney, Ben Crump.
The NCAA has ignored and rejected every opportunity to make this right.
The NCAA took his 2005 Heisman and wiped his collegiate records.
Save the fake coughs for your boss.
People call in sick the most on August 24th than any other day of the year. It's usually the day before a long holiday weekend, but in this case, that's next week. This is CBS News.
At Staples, school savings are always in session. From art supplies and essentials to the latest tech, in stock and priced low. School on, save on at your local Staples store.
I have diabetes. I'm at risk for pneumococcal pneumonia.
I have asthma. I'm at risk too.
If you're 19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, COPD, or heart disease, or are 65 or older, you are at increased risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Ask your doctor or pharmacist about Prevnar 20, pneumococcal 20-valent conjugate vaccine, a vaccine that can help protect you against pneumococcal pneumonia in just one dose. Even if you've already been vaccinated with other pneumonia vaccines, Prevnar 20 may help provide added protection. Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
When we got back from the Working Class Heroes radio tour, one of the things that people asked is, what'd you learn? As you're going through rural America, what'd you find? Found angry people, and angry for cause. But the sad reality is they've been fed decades of outrage candy, and they're angry at the wrong people. They're angry at their neighbors. They're not angry at the very wealthy where they should be. Be sure to tune in live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network, and have your voice heard.
For WFHR and WIRI, I'm Melissa Kay. Following is a list of upcoming meetings in the listening area for Thursday, August 24th. The South Central Library System Board of Trustees will meet at 12:15 at the Wanakee Public Library. The Edgewater Haven Donation Ad Hoc Committee will meet at 4 p.m. at the River Block Building in Wisconsin Rapids in room 206. Following that, the Health and Human Services Committee will meet at 5 in the same room. In Portage County, the Transportation Coordinating Committee will meet at 1:30 in Stevens Point. The Portage County Groundwater Citizens Advisory Committee will meet at 7 p.m. at the Portage County Annex in Conference Room 5. In Adams County, the Economic Development Meeting will take place from 7:30 to 8:30 a.m. at CREATE Adams County. Stop down to the Central Wisconsin State Fair this week and visit the Civic Media Table. Share your story in the Truth Booth. You can see our new logos and get free t-shirts. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI, Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. An excessive heat warning continues until 9 p.m. tonight. Lows around 69. Tonight, under partly cloudy skies, winds out of the northeast, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times again. Tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 87. Partly cloudy skies. Tomorrow night, lows dip down to about 64. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 97.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this August 23rd, 2023. Have your host, James J. Mayloff, here. At 3:30, we're going to welcome in Callie Johnson, and David or Albert might be with us. We're going to talk to the ODC, catch up with them a little bit. Looking forward to it. Right now, we have with us our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. I want to say a big thank you to them joining us when they can, and encourage you to go to YouTube, subscribe to their page. Just type into your search bar, Wisconsin Rapids Community Media, and subscribe to that page. Do it right now. In studio, we have with us our good friend, Brandon Verwink, Human Services Director here in Wood County. Brandon, good to see you.
Thank you for having me.
It's been a while, sir. It's nice to have you in studio. Nice to talk again.
Great. I'm happy to be here, and it has been a number of years, but we have a lot of exciting things to talk about.
Yeah. Brandon, I want to get into that right away. First off, your position, what does that cover? I know we only have 25 minutes, but I know that it's a deeper job than I think many on the surface might see.
Yeah, so Wood County Human Services Department is a very large department for a county our size. So Wood County being considered a medium-sized county, population around 75,000, we're fortunate to have not only a traditional human services department that a lot of folks might think of, which consists of child welfare services, youth justice services, along with supporting folks in our community that need a little extra help. We also oversee Norwood Health Center in Marshfield and Edgewater Haven Nursing Home in Port Edwards. So between those three areas, we have about 320 employees, which is close to about half of the county workforce.
Wow. Wow, that's hearing it broken down like that really expresses how important the position is, but how important this field is, how important having this is. You mentioned the facilities. Let's start there. Let's go to Edgewater Haven Nursing Home first.
Sure. So Edgewater Haven Nursing Home has a long history in our community, so dating back to the late 1800s, when actually Edgewater Haven was known as a Wood County poorhouse. So a very antiquated term,
yeah.
But that was designed to support folks in the community that weren't able to live independently and had no financial means.
Mm.
So it was actually a farm that was set on 200 acres in the town of Seneca and the town of Port Edwards. So I think 40 acres in Port Edwards and 160 acres in the town of Seneca. So it was like a working farm. So folks that lived in the facility worked on the farm and then were living there. So as time evolved, things really changed.
How did it go from that to this?
There became a bigger need in the community than just a smaller type farm.
Mm.
So as we moved into the early 1900s, the Wood County Board began discussing how to better meet the needs of folks in our community.
Mm.
So in 1928, they opened up the Wood County Home for the Aged.
Mm.
And we began serving more and more people.
Mm.
And then the change, as time evolved, there was a need for more changes. But 1928, it started as a one big front-facing building that folks that have been in the community for a long time would recognize.
Mm.
And then as the needs grew in the 40s and 50s, there was additions put onto the facility, and it became more traditional nursing home type care.
Hmm.
So we had additions up until the 1970s. So we had the 300 wing added, the 400 wing, and then the 500 wing. And And then we fast forward up to 2013. The county board had some more discussions because operations began to change and the needs began to change, needing more higher-level nursing care in the facility. Plus, we still had that old 1928 building that was front-facing. And so the decision was made that that building was not able to be remodeled. So they began the process and they voted. First off, does Wood County want to continue to be committed to providing nursing home care to our residents? And the county board said, yes, we do. We feel it's a very important resource that we continue to provide that service to our residents in Wood County. So they supported a renovation. So that old 1928 front-facing building was torn down. And then a new front of the building was erected. So they put on a new administrative wing and then also a new outpatient therapy wing and therapy for the residents in the facility. So that's been a really, really great thing for folks. So having a brand new outpatient therapy facility added on to Edgewater Haven has made a huge difference. So,
is there a difference between Edgewater and some of the other like nursing homes that we have in the area?
Yeah, so all nursing homes provide general skilled nursing care. So generally providing services to folks that we look at folks that might need assistance with rehab. So someone that has a hip replaced or a knee replacement, they're not able to quite go home yet because they need a little extra care, not able to kind of transition from a wheelchair to their bed or may live independently and it's just impossible to cook and provide for themselves. So they'll come into our facility and get rehab until they're ready to go back home. And that's really our ultimate goal, is to help someone improve to get home. So all nursing facilities generally provide that service. And then long-term care, which is another service that we offer. Most skilled nursing facilities, nursing homes, so I got to be careful not to talk in some jargon, but nursing homes in our community offer long-term care to residents that will make that facility their home long-term. So they'll come into the facility and, for example, at Edgewater Haven, it will become their home until they may pass away. So those services are all also offered. As far as we do have one specialty unit, which is our dementia wing. So we have capacity for 18 residents that may be dealing with some issues of dementia. And that's a really critical service. We've seen an increased demand for dementia care and really across the state of Wisconsin. So we're fortunate to have that area to serve 18 residents. And that's an area that we kind of specialize in a bit. So, you know, when you deal with folks that are with dementia, sometimes they can have different behaviors. So they're not quite themselves all the time. Some don't. Some are very quiet. But we do have some that have additional needs. So we have a specialty unit to provide service to them.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, one other thing I want to say about Edgewater Haven, and that is the quality of care is excellent. So we have a 5-star facility, which is the highest rated facility that you can have. We are the only 5-star facility in Southwood County, and that really speaks to the quality of care that our staff provide every day to our residents. So the resident care is really a passion of theirs, and for anybody working in that area, you get into providing service in long-term care because you care about the residents and you have a genuine heart for the work.
I'm curious, Brandon, what do you think the future for Edgewater looks like?
Yeah, so as we kind of go back, even 20 years ago, you would see the census at Edgewater Haven probably closer to about 70 residents, okay? And today, we're in that 45 to 50 range. So you can see it's kind of declined over the course of time, and we've had to adjust on account of that. But one of the bigger reasons for that is the level of care has changed a lot. So if we date back, you know, 30 years ago, you would see a number of the folks that are currently in assisted living used to be in nursing homes. So the level of care really has changed. And if you, especially in Southwood County here, you look around in the Wisconsin Rapids area, you see a lot of assisted living homes, right? And they have continued to grow over the last even 10 years. So they're meeting a need that used to in the past be taken care of by nursing homes. So as with everything, things evolve. and level of care changes. So now the folks that come to Edgewater Haven, the level of care that they need is higher than what we used to in the past. That kind of equates to why we have a lower census than we have in the past. But right now, I'm proud to say Edgewater Haven financially is doing well. We have done well over the last number of years. The county has really committed a lot to support Edgewater Haven through renovations in 2014. But also more recently, we've had renovations to our 300 wing, which is our long-term care wing. So that's been completely remodeled. They used to have shared bathrooms there, which when you date back a number of years ago, that was common practice. As you can imagine, if you were in a nursing home, hopefully a long, long time from now for both me and you, you would want a private bathroom. So the county made a decision to install private bathrooms on all the resident rooms there.
That's cool.
So it's made a real big difference, and it gives residents more dignity to have privacy.
I think you hit on a big word there, dignity. You know, that every human being deserves, especially these people. And certainly in this area, it's no surprise to anybody. This is a highly populated senior area. This is an area that needs these kind of things. I think it's just a nice relief sometimes, if for lack of a better word, to hear of a county noticing that, paying attention to that, and doing something about it. Sometimes it's a little bit like we're just talking about it now and trying to get something going. We've already had this in place. This has been going on for quite some time. I think we're fortunate in this area when it comes to that.
Yeah, and the investment from the county board has been significant. They are committed to our facility. And when we talk about that, there's been a lot of nursing homes that have closed across the state over the last year, the last 5 years. To continue to keep our nursing home operational is really, really, really important. And for example, my understanding is Pinecrest up in Lincoln County, a county-owned nursing home, is up for sale now. So Lincoln County is looking to get out of the nursing home business. Wood County is still in it and committed to it, and committed to the folks in Wood County meeting that need, like you talked about, the growing aging population. We're going to see an uptick in need as the baby boomers continue to age and need more care.
It's going to happen sooner than we think. We're going to need to be able to be there for these. I immediately think of China in these situations. For those that aren't up on this and everything, in China, they've had this problem for over two decades, where there's a generation of people that want to retire, but they can't because there's nobody to take over. They got nobody younger in there to do that and everything. It's a similar situation that could happen here, where I'm sorry, you're 70. We need you still. You're going to have to keep working. That kind of thing. We need, as much as we need to cover that, we need to cover our bases when it comes to when they do retire and having a place to land, if you will. How about we land on Norwood now? I want to talk a little bit about that. And I want to be honest, I was very curious about this because I don't know a ton of history about Norwood, although I think anybody who's lived here for a couple of years, let alone longer than that, has heard the term or knows of Norwood. You just may not know exactly what they do.
Sure. Yeah, so Norwood Health Center up in Marshfield also has a long history. So in 1911, the Wood County Insane Asylum opened. So again, a very antiquated term.
Yes.
So at that point, the facility opened up and it was actually a working farm. There was 250 residents at that time, which is a very high number. There was in County Road A in Marshfield, that's about where it was located. There was a tunnel underneath County Road A that adjoined the living quarters for the residents that lived there to the farm. So they would walk under the tunnel under County Road A from the farm, or from the living quarters to the farm, and then do farm work. So the idea back then in the early 1900s was work therapy. We had folks that were suffering from mental illness, and the idea was, well, having them do work and exert some through physical activity could be helpful to them. So they worked on the farm. They had chickens, had a whole bunch of eggs. Actually, in fact, they actually served about 600 eggs a day to the residents that, that lived on the farm. They had their own meat, grew vegetables, berries, and honey was produced there as well. Milked cows and sold some of the milk to the local dairies. So it was a working farm for quite some time. So as time evolved, obviously the ideas and methods began to change. And we move into the 60s, the occupancy of the facility was down about 50% from what it was. And the 60s also brought forward the time of deinstitutionalization. So they wanted to get folks out of institutions.
Makes sense. Yeah.
So at that point, the county began to look and see what makes sense. And it was no longer financially feasible to keep the farm open with the population half of what it originally was. And then with the push to get folks out of institutions, the county made the decision to build a new facility right in the heart of Marshfield, where Norwood Health Center is located now. And so they built the facility, began construction, I believe, in 1973, and the facility opened in 1974. As with a lot of things that are new, there was some public concern at that time about a mental health facility being kind of in the heart of the community. As it went forward and things turned out okay, we really have really no issues in the community with Norwood Health Center. It's kind of sits on a 21-acre area right now, so we're kind of behind Culver's and the old Rose Bowl there. So right in the community, right next to the YMCA for that matter. So there's a newer YMCA, and we're partners with them. We allow them to use a lot of our green space for kids. So it's a really nice working partnership as well. But the, currently now with Norwood Health Center, I guess I'd like to share a little bit about what we're doing now. So right now we have a 16-bed psychiatric hospital. And again, fortunate for the size of our county that we're able to offer that level of mental health care to our residents. So if somebody is really struggling and needs to be hospitalized, they're not having to go to Appleton or Milwaukee. They can stay in Marshfield in Wood County. So we have doctors on staff that are available to provide them support. We have an incredible nursing team that is well-trained and skilled in the area of mental health. So we have 16 beds. Our average census there, so our average daily population is around 7.5 to 8 residents. So we're not often full. Actually, through my time working for the department, I've never seen us have a full census of 16. So we've climbed up to 14 on a couple of days when things get really busy. But our average, again, is around 7.5 to 8 residents. So we're able to provide really good care.
In this day and age, especially in 2023, I think the last couple of years, we've done a really good job of talking about mental health and bringing a light to this and it no longer being a hushed term or something that you should feel bad about or something. I think as a society, we've gotten much better with this, but it does still show the need for special facilities like Norwood, where there is having a bad day and then there is a chemical imbalance or there is something like that along those lines. That's a much heavier topic that needs much more hands-on care, if you will. So the importance of having a Norwood is important, especially just doing a little homework before you and I got talking today. I was looking into this, and there are counties and cities right now that are currently building facilities to do what Norwood is already doing, what we've had in this area for quite some time. It's unique, and it's I think, noteworthy that we've had this facility, that we've had something that other counties and other places are just now starting to do.
Yeah, and more to that, we have a contract with 23 other counties. So that kind of further, talks about the need that, other counties do send some of their residents to us. So not only do we have the 16-bed hospital, we also have two other units. So we have a 16-bed locked unit. So if someone transitions out from the hospital but is not able to go home safely, we're able to have them live on our long-term care unit until they're able to get to a better spot. And then beyond that, we have a 16-bed unlocked unit. So someone can transition from the locked unit to the unlocked unit, or they can go right from the hospital to the unlocked unit. So, and on those two units, we average about 24, 25 residents in total. So we have room for additional growth there. We have some residents that have lived in our facility for 20 years. And obviously the goal is for that not to happen. But, when you look at, the size of our county, it's a very small number of folks that have long-term. The ultimate goal is that we can help them get to a point of moving out of our facility and continuing to step down, We also have an 8-bed unit in the facility, which is a crisis stabilization unit. So someone that is in a state of crisis, if they don't need hospitalization, we can place them on our 8-bed, what we call our Bridgeway unit. Okay. So someone that's really struggling but not to the level of needing hospitalization, they can come onto our unit and they can stay. And they'll get mental health care. They'll get support. They can be there for 3 days until things stabilize, or it could be 30 days or 60 days at sometimes, depending on what their needs are. So really, at Norwood Health Center, there's a comprehensive level of care to meet the mental health needs that folks have. We also get them set up after they discharge, so we don't just say, oh, you're going to discharge from our facility, you know, good luck.
Yeah.
We make sure they're set up with all kinds of follow-up appointments that they need with mental health providers, make sure they have a provider, that their medications are in order if they need medications, and then because the ultimate goal is we don't want to have them need to be rehospitalized. So it really is a comprehensive level of care that honestly, I'm incredibly proud of. I'm proud of Wood County for having a mental health hospital and our long-term care units, because it's not something that a lot of counties do have. You know, a lot of counties choose to, for a variety of reasons, send folks to other facilities. But
we're speaking with Brandon Verwink, Human Services Director with our Wood County. And Brandon, I wanted to spend a little more time than we have left, so you're going to have to come back now. You're going to have to come back sometime. But I want to get into youth programming with you a little bit and how Wood County is taking this on, taking the initiative on this when it comes to our youth in this area.
Yeah, so youth is something that I'm incredibly passionate about. The youth are our future, and we need to do our best to support them. So as part of our department, we work with youth that might be struggling. They may have had some incidents at school that require some intervention. They may have some incidents in the community, maybe habitually truant, not going to school for a variety of different reasons. So we've looked at those issues, and there's so much that we'd like to do. We started doing a number of things, and one is about 4 years ago, we implemented a youth mentoring program. And that may sound simple, but it's like, trust me, it's a lot more details to it than just simple youth mentoring. And people wonder, well, what does a youth mentor do? Well, our youth mentors work intensively with youth that are struggling. So youth that may not have a positive role model. And maybe our listeners think, well, gosh, everybody should have a positive role model. But that's not always the case for some people. So the design of our program is to give our youth a positive role model, someone that spends 6-7 hours a week with them. And that can be doing a variety of different things, but it can be helping them with their schoolwork, working with them on their schoolwork. It can be doing pro-social activities, teaching them gardening. For example, one of the activities that we're working on right now with our youth is we have a garden out of Edgewater Haven. So we have a number of youth that are just interested in gardening, haven't had an opportunity to do it. So one of our youth mentors is really passionate about gardening, very interested in it, and very interested in teaching. So we have a group of youth that are growing a garden at Edgewater Haven. And last week I had the opportunity to be out there and get a tour of the garden. And we brought some of the residents out from Edgewater Haven. So we're kind of bringing generations together. So we're having some of the older folks that are residents of Edgewater Haven that love gardening, know all about it. So I had the opportunity to push an older lady around in her wheelchair. And she was talking about the crops that are out there. And some of the youth were there explaining what they were. And it was just a really unique opportunity.
But you're bringing
the elderly and our youth that are struggling together, they enjoy each other.
Well, and the who knows what that organically spins off in their heads for the youth of where they want to take their lives, their careers. So it has that added benefit to it too. And more to the point, the support. I don't know if we can ever, I say this all the time, encouragement, support, cost nothing, can mean everything. And at that age, especially having that. So just having some of that is really great. And you would hope that that creates a stronger youth in our area and a youth that maybe wants to stay in this area. That, you know, that's one of the bigger troubles right now for any city, any community. I don't care if you're talking about Chicago or you're talking about Rapids. It's keeping residents. That kind of stuff you know, entail. We see the stats and the data of how important that is. Kids that care about their communities tend to either come back to their communities or stay in their communities. So there's that added bonus of this as well. But most importantly, any kid that is struggling, any kid that is suffering, any kid that is looking for anything, they should be able to have a resource for that thing.
Yeah, I agree completely. So we're fortunate to have three youth mentors right now, yeah. And they work with each about 4 to 5 kids and help provide them support, and it's made a significant difference in a number of the youth that we've worked with and help keep them out of trouble.
Yeah.
And doing more pro-social activities, even doing some kayaking and things to, you know, get some energy out has really helped them. But they've also learned a lot of coping skills, is which one of the things that we teach them. Mm-hmm. So when things go bad, they don't turn to alcohol or drugs, yeah. But they have some other things that they can turn to as support. So those small things that maybe a lot of folks in our community think about as basic things, we have a number of kids in Wood County, sadly enough, that don't have basic things or don't know basic coping mechanisms. So it's something that we want to build on, but something that we're certainly proud of that we started to do. And there's so many needs for youth that we could get to.
Yeah, and again, you're going to have to come back, Brandon, because there's so much more to talk about with this subject, and I'm really looking forward to getting into it with you. Before we do let you go, though, if people are hearing this and they're interested in becoming a mentor, is there a way to do that? Can they reach out to you?
Yeah, so one thing that we are looking at is doing, right now all of our mentors are county employees, but we are looking at trying to expand to community members that have an interest in doing that. So we don't have that quite in place yet, but that is certainly something that we're looking to do, is to get a core group of folks that want to do something. One option, though, right now that does exist for folks that want to do it is Big Brothers and Big Sisters has come to Wisconsin Rapids. So we are looking to expand and do more in our community. So I would encourage, we refer to that program all the time. Okay. That is a great place to get started.
Really good people, really good program, yes. Really good conversation. Thank you so much for hanging out with us, Brandon.
Well, thank you for the time. It went by really, really fast.
Really does, doesn't it? Yeah. Again, so the next time we come back, it will be even faster.
Okay.
Even faster. Thanks again for the time, Brandon.
Thank you.
You can find out more by going to wirapids.org. Encourage you to do that and reach out to Brandon, Mr. Brandon Verwink, anytime. Also want to send a big thank you to our friends over at Wisconsin Rapids Public Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Appreciate them. It was your shoes. Your shoes distracted me, Taylor. I love the shoes, man. Thanks so much for being with us, you guys. And we'll have more Midday Magazine for you coming up right here on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Today's job market is full of demand for skilled trade workers. Electricians, welders, mechanics, these and other trades are the backbone of every community. They're also a huge part in making sure the Army National Guard is always fulfilling its mission of service to our country and communities. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and supplies moving. The skilled trades these soldiers perform are the same ones needed in today's civilian workforce. Army National Guard soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. With options from plumber to helicopter mechanic and everything in between, soldiers are able to select the trades that best fit their lives. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession and serve your community and country by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
For WFHR and WIRI, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know in Central Wisconsin. The Central Wisconsin State Fair kicked off yesterday in Marshfield. They're celebrating 120 years with all your favorites. There's food, the 4-H animals, bands playing during the day and evening, and the Midway opens today. Come see us in the 4-H building and visit the Civic Media booth and share your story in the Truth booth. Just for stopping by the table, you can get a pair of shirts with our new logos, one from WFHR and one from WIRI. Stop by and see us today. I'll be there from 2 to 5. There's lots to see and so much fun at the Central Wisconsin State Fair. Lieutenant Dean with the Wood County Sheriff's Department was manning the department booth yesterday. He hadn't found it yet, but shared what he likes to eat at the fair.
Ooh, that's a tough one because there's so many good options, but I'd have to say the traditional corn dog. I always look forward to having a good old corn dog.
The fair continues until Sunday. I'm Melissa Kay, Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. An excessive heat warning continues until 9 p.m. tonight. Lows around 69. Tonight, under partly cloudy skies, winds out of the northeast, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times again. Tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 87. Partly cloudy skies. Tomorrow night, lows dip down to about 64. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 97.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this August 23rd, 2023. You have your host, James J., here, and I am joined right now in studio by some of our favorite people from the ODC. We have our good friend Callie Johnson with us. Good afternoon, Callie.
Good afternoon.
Good to see you. Thanks for being here. And you brought a good friend of ours with. Albert is with us again. Mm-hmm. Hello, Albert.
Yeah, hello.
It's good to see you again, sir.
It's good to see you, too.
I'm looking forward to talking with you in just a little bit. Just hang on there. We'll be putting you to work in a second. Thanks for being here, though, Al. Appreciate it. Callie, how are things going? How have things been? It's been a while.
Busy. Yeah. Busy, but good. Hmm.
We just wrapped up.
Yeah, I was going to say, should we jump right in?
Yeah, let's go ahead, because we just wrapped up the fourth annual walk and roll. How did that go?
Yes, it went well, as in past years. It was our fourth annual, so... Never quite sure if things are kind of tuckering out, if the community is going to still be there to support. Yeah, yeah. I shouldn't really doubt our communities like that. I mean, but
it's understandable when you look. I think when you work for a nonprofit, it's hard to always see the glasses half full.
Right.
You know, it's understandable.
You have goals you want to achieve, you're like, gosh, what will the response be for this event?
But this area surprises you, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, in the best way. Mm-hmm. So it was a great turnout last week at our in-person events at our locations in Wisconsin Rapids, Stevens Point, and Marshfield. We did daytime walks at two newer locations, which is up in Wausau and Merrill. So we're just growing, and we're happy that the event is still relevant and, again, all-inclusive. We call it a run, walk, and roll. You can literally walk it. You can be at home on your treadmill. You can wheel around in a scooter, on a bike, in a wheelchair. It's so flexible, and we're just... Again, blessed with the turnout and the support.
Did the newer addition to the event, the daytimes that you mentioned there, how did those turn out? Do you have a good turnout for those?
Yeah, decent. I mean, good. We would want to grow it in the future a little bit, but I think for the first time in those communities, it was great. And to get businesses to sponsor in those communities and just get to know ODC a little bit better and connect with us, that was really beneficial. So actually, I do want to call out all of our sponsors.
Got it.
It might take a minute, but
that's all right.
I think that it's good to recognize the businesses, the local small and large businesses that are giving back, because we love people listening to patronize these places.
Exactly. These are people that are investing in our community. We believe in supporting local, and I personally am a big believer, and I support businesses that support our community. I spend my money at places that I know advertise and produce and work in this community, invest in this community, places like you're going to tell us here.
Yes. So our elite sponsors were Nasonville Dairy in Marshfield and Falker Brothers in Marshfield. Mm. All Wheel sponsors, Connexus Credit Union and Normie Lane Farms. High Roller sponsors, Solaris, Lakeland Care, Bank Account Corp, Marshfield Clinic, Forward Bank, Simplicity Credit Union, Revision Eye Care, and Marshfield Senior Services. Our next level was our Walkstar sponsors, which were Seehafer Refrigeration, Greenway RV, Renaissance Learning, Retirement Wealth Solutions, Superior Paper Products, Paper City Savings, and Crockett Septic. And our step-up sponsors, Next Home Partners, Gamber Johnson, McCain Foods, Dakota Electric, Members Advantage Credit Union, Partners Bank, Anderson O'Brien Law, Chips Hamburgers, Edward Jones, Becker Income CPA, and then Festival Foods donated waters and bananas at all of our walks and locations. So again, Just thank you to those sponsors for supporting our efforts at ODC.
And I'm sure not lost on the audience or you, a lot of familiar names there. A lot of businesses, a lot of places that not only have advertised or invested in previous events with the ODC, but in events, all kinds of places have Pro Farm out here. We see those names a lot.
Correct.
Those are people we definitely want to support. Thank you for that, Callie. Appreciate that. And really happy to hear that it was a successful event, especially because that means we'll have a fifth. You know, and I want this to keep going. Yeah, it's a fun
event.
Yeah, and
we want feedback from anyone who participated, whether it was a sponsor, an individual registrant, someone who put a team together, about how we can make it different or maybe reinvent it or just always looking for ways to improve. Last year we supported over 1,000 individuals with disabilities across 13 counties in Wisconsin. So we need, part of our fundraising is events.
Yeah.
And we want to grow it. We need to grow it as we're growing and offering more supports to people. So, any feedback would be appreciated. But we really kept the Ink Splash team busy this year.
I think we
printed over 400 T-shirts. Ooh. So, again, thank you to everybody that even shared it on Facebook, or if you can't, we've always talked, James, if you can't participate financially, give back, give your time at volunteering at the events or sharing it with your friends and family, just kind of promoting it in a way.
You got some great pictures on Facebook of the event and encourage people to not only look at those, like them, share them on your feed. Spread the word about these events. Spread the word when they're coming up, after them. There is no bad time. Everything you're doing is helping bring attention to what the ODC are doing, some of the vital work in our community.
Yes.
And helps bring attention, hopefully, in some sponsors and things like that too, and resources to the ODC
as well.
You
never know with your one click, your share, who's going to see that next.
Yes.
And then think of it and be able to help out. So
we're speaking with Callie and Albert, and I don't know if you guys have heard or not, but we've had a fun thing going on here at Civic Media where we're doing a blood donation challenge. We're calling on all of our listeners, all those heroes out there, to donate if they can, and they do so. Take a selfie when you do this, and we're telling people to take a selfie, so I mean, you know, that's real difficult. They love that. They do that, and you use the hashtag Civic Pints, you'll get in to get some tickets from Brewer Games and things like that. But it's mostly about our people at Civic Media, and in particular Earl here, realized a great need, a shortage going on here, especially going way back to the pandemic.
Right.
Let alone the Red Cross has come out and said this summer there's been a decline in blood donations. So it's all the more important to have these whenever we can. And one of the things that I champion about the ODC is certainly you guys doing so much work for your clients, but how at the same time you were able to do so much for our community as a whole. And I think coming up is a perfect example of that.
Yep. Our American Red Cross Blood Drive is next Wednesday, so a week from today, August 30th, from 10 to 3 at ODC. So yes, there has been a huge shortage of donors, and the facts that they give us, it takes less time to give blood than to watch a summer blockbuster. You can save lives by doing it, so it's like a feel-good movement.
Yeah.
And if that doesn't get you enough, they do have several donor incentives happening in August, kind of like what you just mentioned. So that's another one. But all donors will be entered into a raffle for a chance to win a summer fun grill package, which includes a wireless portable travel speaker, an insulated cooler, portable cooler, and a stand-up propane gas grill, which is valued at over $325.
It looks like a nice grill.
So everyone gets entered in that. People who come and give blood on August 30th will get a $10 e-gift card to a movie merchant of their choice. That'll be sent via email. And then they're doing this bonus promotion. A $25 Quick Trip gift card will be awarded randomly to a donor who comes to our blood drive next Wednesday.
It's a beautiful thing.
So, like you said, though, we do try to partner with local organizations, even though we're a nonprofit, we can also give back.
Yeah.
You know, we have the United Way campaigns coming up in September and October. We do American Red Cross blood drives. We've partnered with Boys and Girls Club. We do painting classes and try to visit the cultural center. Yeah. Like all these different nonprofits can really work together to achieve our goals.
We're so much stronger together. We really are, especially when you look at the nonprofits in this area and how much stronger they are working together than, you know, maybe 20 years ago when it was kind of crabs in a barrel more so. And now this area has survived so much, and I think in part because of that, because our nonprofits are working together and looking out for each other like this community does. You touched on it earlier, Callie, like weren't sure how it would respond, but I feel like, oh, silly me, I should have known because this community always shows up. But it's understandable because, you know, we've been paying attention in the news. We understand the world today that we live in, but this area is just a little bit different, you know, and it reminds you of it all the time. Events like this are a great reminder, and it's a great way to be a part of this. You can be a part of all these things. You can be a part of the Civic Media Blood Donation Challenge as well as this. You donate one place at coming up on the 30th.
Yep.
You donate to this.
The 30th, and you can schedule appointments by going to redcrossblood.org, and then you'd enter the sponsor code ODC. Mm-hmm. I think you can also call. Yeah, you can call 1-800-RED-CROSS. So that's 1-800-733-2767 to schedule your appointment. Otherwise, just show up next week, Wednesday, from the hours between 10 and 3. Mm-hmm. And we'll have a team lead there, and we'll have a volunteer assisting. And it's a pretty smooth process. If anyone's afraid to kind of give blood, I would encourage you not to be. Maybe some people have a fear of that, but others, I think you can overcome it once you come one time and see kind of how the process works.
Well, and you hit it on the head in the beginning here. There's not many opportunities that we have in life to be able to do such a good deed, you know, and the way that feels afterwards. If you get in the running for this and you win some civic media stuff, or you win something from the Red Cross or something, those are all great, but the you already win just by doing this. I don't know if it's a feeling that we can express until you do it. And afterwards, how great you feel. I make I have a joke, a line that I talk about this, where it's a much easier way of being a superhero. You know, a lot of the great superhero names are already taken, you know, and you have to have the tragic backstory, and you've got to wear the tights or the cape, and this is much simpler. It's much easier. But I say that in truth, too, because you genuinely are a hero doing this. Anytime we're talking about somebody helping out somebody they don't even know, what is a hero? It is somebody that helps out people they don't even know. Strangers helping strangers. That's what this is.
Right.
So I may be joking a little bit, but there's some truth in there. I think you really are a true hero when you donate blood.
Yep, I would agree. And a lot of people that do this, like, don't do it for themselves. Like, they already are those types of people.
Yes.
So, but a little bit can go a long way. So,
We encourage you to donate.
And again, just like anything else, if you can't make it, share it so people become aware of it and are able to help that way.
Callie, I'd like to get into painting with a purpose right now, too. You touched on this a little bit earlier, and this is one of those ones that any chance we could talk about, I like being able to.
Right. So Painting with Purpose is a class that's hosted at Milkweed Market once a month, typically on Thursdays from 12:30 to 2. And each month we bring in a guest artist from the community to do a different either painting instruction or some sort of art-related class. And so this month, August, it'll be on Thursday, August 31st at Milkweed. The guest artist is Lily Greenwood, and they'll be painting a beautiful waterfall. So we encourage everybody to like it on Facebook or just show up on that Thursday at Milkweed at 12:30. All of the supplies are included free. It's just a great experience, and our goal is to integrate the individuals who we support, individuals of all abilities, to the community members who come to these classes. So it's really grown this year, which has been great. But again, you don't need to RSVP. You can if you want. Otherwise, just come. And it's for people of all ages, people of all abilities. If you're the worst artist ever,
yes,
You can still come.
As I'm told, whenever these things come up, as I am probably the worst artist in the world, I cannot draw a stick figure. But I would have so much fun at this event. I would love going to an event like this because it's about that. It's about the fun and interacting. You mentioned that people don't have to register. Are there supplies or anything people need to bring, or everything's already there?
Everything's free and included. Yeah. So we have the canvases, we have the paints, we have the brushes. Sometimes we even have snacks, depending on the day. And it's milkweed, so even if we are short of something, like we're guaranteed to have it in the store, and we can put it together. But we just want to encourage everyone to move. You know, we've come a long way. We talked about it actually in our annual appeal letter. When we opened in 1986, we worked primarily with adults after they graduated from high school, providing opportunities for them to be active and productive citizens. But now, in today's world, people with disabilities are active in every aspect of community life. And so this is just one way to show that. Like, if you come to ODC or you come to Milkweed, you're not going to see maybe what you used to see or what you were used to seeing. And so Painting with Purpose is just one way we're trying to get more community members to come in and realize all of the changes that have happened.
I think even for somebody like myself that has experience going back to that time in the 80s with ODC, and it's been pretty, you know, I talk with you guys once a month. I'm pretty familiar with the area. It's been a while since I've been over there. You know, it'd be really good for people like myself to check it out, and especially anybody who's never even, you know, stepped into the facilities. Maybe you've heard about the ODC in town or seen their name in places, but It's a whole different ball game when you get there and you get to see what's going on at the ODC. I also find it very inspirational. Very inspirational. I think especially you're out there and you're feeling your feelings. You stop over there, you cannot leave without a smile on your face.
Right.
It's impossible. Right. I dare you. Right. Go ahead and try. It's so inspiring. It's such a wonderful, the vibe there that you guys have created is so good. You can feel it before you even walk in the building.
Thank you. Yeah, well, we're just incredibly grateful to have these opportunities to provide these supports, but we don't even think of it really that way, the way you're describing. I mean, you know it's a good feeling and you know it's good vibes, but like, we just like unintentionally put those out,
thing.
I think.
Yeah, it's just, it's something that I don't think you could do that if you tried. I think it's something that just happens.
Yeah.
And it comes also from decades of doing this, of great work over great work over great work, great people coming in and out, people like Pam that got the ball really going over there and the people that have continued that work, you know, like yourself and everything.
So it
goes a long way.
Yeah.
Anything else people should know about Painting with a Purpose?
I did want to say
if there are, because you mentioned a wonderful local artist there, I know we have other great local artists, and maybe they might want to be able to host something or be a part of something like this. Can they reach out to you guys and maybe find out if there's opportunities there?
Yes, please do. I wish I had Brooke Porter's email, but you could call ODC and ask for Brooke. But she, I know, is actively always trying to find somebody who can volunteer their time for an hour and a half. So many people have so many unique skill sets. And so we're open to, again, it's called Painting with Purpose. I think we're going to be evolving it to be like Creating with Purpose or something, because it doesn't have to be specifically painting. It can be any sort of craft that somebody's comfortable with that thinks they could teach it.
Reach out to the ODC, reach out to Brooke. Otherwise, they're stuck with somebody like me. And again, I can't even draw a stick figure, people. I mean, this is not going to be fun. Gets a real artist in there. Thank you very much for all the information, Callie. Really do appreciate it. I'm going to shift gears a little bit here. I want to talk with Albert a little and you. I want to talk about Milkweed Market. Fifth anniversary, you guys. I can't believe it's already the fifth anniversary of Milkweed Market.
Well,
it was the fifth. We just had it last week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's pretty exciting.
Probably pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, went pretty good, Albert?
Yeah.
What was your favorite, do you think?
Oh, I wasn't there.
The mums.
Mom.
Oh.
Oh, the mums, yeah.
You were there for that part.
Yeah, for that one. Yeah.
How'd that go?
It's going.
Yeah. Did you enjoy
it? Watering them?
Yeah.
Yeah. We did that today.
We still have a few left.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Albert, how have you enjoyed working over at Milkweed Market?
Oh, it's enjoyable.
Yeah.
Yeah, I enjoy working there.
What's one of your favorite things about being there?
Well, I like putting stickers, price tags on.
Yeah.
One. Mm-hmm. And the other is when we sandpaper some of our stuff take the paint, you know, and spread it out.
Yeah.
Make it look old.
Yes. Yeah. That could be fun. That's such a fun thing to be able to do.
Yeah.
I wanted to encourage people to always check out Milkweed Market, especially you get to run into people like Albert. But Albert, you might not be there as much anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got a new gig. Got a new job.
Yeah.
What are you going to be doing?
Well, that one job, I have to do cleaning of the men's and the ladies' room.
Sure.
And then I have to wash the mirrors, clean them off.
Okay. Yeah.
And then what we do is we sweep the whole floor, and then we use the mop it down.
Sure.
So that's pretty good.
Callie and us, we were talking before the show and stuff, and it sounds like you have a new job that you're going to be, a new place you're going to be working at?
Yeah, that was the food pantry.
Yeah, the food pantry, yeah. Congratulations about that. That's got to be
fun.
You're enjoying yourself over there?
Oh, yeah, pretty much so.
Yeah. Everybody treating you good?
Oh, they're wonderful folks there.
Yeah, good. That's really, really good to hear, Albert. That's great.
Yeah, the program that Albert is in at Milkweed is called a group-supported employment program. So even though everybody loves Albert at Milkweed and is used to seeing him, the goal is for community integration and community employment, too. So that's why his hours have been reduced at Milkweed, because he landed this job at the food pantry, and that's just what people will get used to seeing at Milkweed. Right. The folks come there, get some training and job opportunities, learn different skills, and then move on to other jobs in the community for more independence. So
we touch on this from time to time, Callie, but you were hitting on it before, the evolution of ODC and where it started in the mid-80s and everything, and helping clients and helping people out of high school. And just, I know we meet once a month, but every time it just hits me where we are right now, where it's not just looking to put these amazing people in the workforce in our community. You've created a workforce. You've got Milkweed. You've got the Ink Splash. That just is revolutionary to me. And it not only, if there was any hesitancy about hiring a client from the ODC, now you have the data to show, look how good they work here. Look at the work that they do. This area is very good about hiring people when it comes to this. But if there were any doubters, any hesitancy, that is completely nulled out by the data that you're able to show with people like Albert working at Milkweed and Ink Splash and that.
Yeah, what you touched on earlier is the truth. I mean, that was the pathway for people with disabilities. We provided a lot of employment and training opportunities inside of our facilities. Just a small number of people probably worked out in community. And now we have our social enterprises like Milkweed, like Ink Splash, right there as well. But those are meant as training opportunities.
Right. Yeah.
And then we're still really looking at community full-time integrated employment. And we've come a long way. There's still some ways to go.
Yeah.
But just doing shows like this and being able to bring Albert, bring David, Odessa. Everybody wants to come and talk about their job and what they're proud of doing. And so that's just a great way to get the word out and promote.
In this day and age, you've got a lot of employers out there looking for people and looking to hire good people. So bring attention to having these conversations. Hopefully they're hearing this and they're realizing, oh, I've got a resource right there that I haven't even tapped into yet. Tap into that resource. Reach out to the ODC.
Yeah,
they've got some amazing people there.
Please talk to us. Open the conversation up. There are temporary work experiences that people can provide first if you're a little hesitant about it and don't want a full-fledged hire right away. You do a temp. It's like an internship, and it's a great way to just get your foot in the door and see what it's like.
Yeah, and I personally, I'm thankful, and I need the people out there to use these clients. Albert's going to take my job. If you don't give Albert a job out there, he's going to take my job. I need this gig, Al. I need this gig, Al. I need it.
You'd be very good at it.
Callie, if people have follow-up questions, they want to know more about some of the things we've talked about today, is there a good way to reach out to you?
Yep, it's 715-424-2712. Obviously, go to odcinc.com for hiring opportunities, events coming up, just everything we have going on. Yeah. And me personally, cjohnson at odcinc.com. Follow us on Facebook. Follow Milkweed Market on Facebook. They've got food truck events coming up. Mm-hmm. They've got more sales with the fall and Christmas season.
Yeah.
Quickly, fastly approaching, which is crazy to say.
Yeah, but it's right around the corner.
But yeah, just follow and support if you can.
Thank you for the time, both of you. Really do appreciate you being here. Albert, always good to see you, and you too, Callie. Thank you for the time.
Thanks for having us.
We'll have more Midday Magazine for you tomorrow right here on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Brand new look, same great radio. Locally grown radio WFHR and West Country 105.5 WIRI are getting a makeover, and you're invited to check it out. Not only are WFHR.com and WisCountry.com getting a refresh, we have new logos for each station. Look for them online and on social media, and keep on listening. We've got swag giveaways and the Name the West Country Chicken Contest coming soon. Join us as we celebrate WFHR and WIRI.